it's Thursday, the 25th of June, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Sellier in Tel Aviv. Israel has been accused of deliberately targeting children in Gaza. The allegations made headlines around the world. But as Andrew Fox, senior fellow at the Henry Jackson Society, tells me, the report by a three-member panel is completely evidence-free and is designed to shore up South Africa's flagging case against Israel at the ICJ. Hear our conversation in a moment, but first the headlines. Iran's Revolutionary Guards have warned that any ship entering the Strait of Hormuz without Tehran's authorization will be dealt with. An interim agreement between the US and Iran is supposed to guarantee that commercial shipping can pass freely for 60 days, but Iran insists vessels must use routes it has approved. Well, speaking in Bahrain, the US Secretary of State Marco Rubio said the United States would not accept Iran imposing tolls or fees on ships using the strait. He said that would set a dangerous global precedent. Rubio is touring the Gulf to reassure America's allies that the MOU with Iran will not undermine their security. Well, President Trump is facing growing pressure from within his own Republican Party over the agreement. Lawmakers are demanding more details of the Iran deal before agreeing to release an additional $70 billion to fund the war. According to a report in Politico, a White House official admitted, "Nobody wants this deal. Our gamble didn't work." The official said the Trump administration believed strikes on Iran would lead to regime change, but that never happened. An Israeli reserve soldier has been killed in what the IDF describes as an operational accident in southern Lebanon. 32-year-old Master Sergeant Basil Swade died after his refueling truck overturned during an overnight operation. Another soldier was moderately wounded. Well, Israel has not confirmed claims by a US State Department official that it has withdrawn from parts of southern Lebanon. The White House is advancing a plan to sell hundreds of millions of dollars worth of fighter jet engines to Turkey ahead of next month's NATO summit. Turkey was excluded from the F-35 program after purchasing Russian air defense systems. President Trump praised Erdogan for staying out of the war with Iran, saying he probably would have sided with Tehran. Trump also said he planned to do something that would make Erdogan very happy at the NATO summit next month. Israeli security officials say Iran is shifting its focus to the West Bank, Judea and Samaria as pressure eases on other fronts. According to a report in Ynet, the Shin Bet warns that Tehran is rebuilding terror networks through Turkey, cryptocurrency funding and weapons smuggling. The IDF is stepping up operations to prevent the spread of attack drones and stop what it fears could become a major cross-border terrorist attack. And Israel is preparing to send rescue teams to help search for survivors after a devastating earthquake in Venezuela. Hundreds are feared dead, tens of thousands are missing, and hundreds more have been reported injured. ZAKA and IsraAid are preparing to deploy teams, despite the fact that Israel and Venezuela do not have diplomatic relations. Before we get to today's conversation, a reminder that you can sponsor Israel in 10. Just drop us a line at misgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now, here's Andrew Fox. A new UN report accuses Israel of deliberately targeting children in Gaza. And obviously, this made headlines around the world yesterday. But what is the evidence in this report?
Well, there really isn't any. That's the ridiculous thing about it. And I think it's really important to note that this isn't an official UN position. It's nowhere close. It's a panel of basically three activists, one of whom has been roundly condemned by the member states for anti-Semitism. I'm not talking anti-Zionism or anti-Israel, like actual anti-Semitism, who's previously produced another report that was equally evidence-free. Look, what we're seeing is just this pathway where Hamas make an allegation, it gets reported by their friendly press, that then gets into the NGO ecosystem, who all circularly reports one another's claims. That gives it then extra layers of credibility, at which point these UN effectively malign agents take up the supposed evidence and present it as fact. And then the world's media reports it again as an official UN position. But we've just seen this time and time again. It is, of course, incredibly damaging. It works. But in terms of the actual evidence presented, there's almost none at all. And as a final point, I would just say, look, nobody's claiming the IDF are absolute Boy Scouts. And of course, bad things have happened. But that's every army in the world. If you recruit from society, you will have the odd bad apple. And that's every war that's ever been fought in history. And yet Israel is held to a, this incredibly much higher standard And then condemned as a result.
And there's also an issue with the fact that Hamas uses child soldiers as well.
Yeah, and look, we're doing some work right now looking at some of the fatalities that have been announced through either Gazan social media or by Hamas or by PIJ have released most of their commanders now. And we are seeing people on social media being described as martyrs as young as 12 years old, even before the war. Groups like Human Rights Watch or Amnesty, who are far from being pro-Israel, released papers criticising Hamas's use of child soldiers. This isn't a new thing at all. But look, this is a much bigger thing here. I think we can drill into the details, but actually what we're doing when we do that is giving it a credibility it doesn't deserve. What's more important is that we focus on why they would do this. And the reason is because the ICJ, the International Court of Justice, who of course are hearing South Africa versus Israel, the genocide case, have a long-standing track record of accepting internal UN reports like this as evidence. And so this is all part of generating the evidence pack against Israel, because they know they can't win on the facts. Of course they can't.
Well, they've just had to delay it by exactly. 18 months, haven't they?
Yeah, of course. And of course, another 18 months on top of that, because Israel gets the chance to respond to their 18 months. So it's going to be 2029 before we see a ruling anyway. And so what they're doing is muddying the waters as much as possible and then injecting this kind of unevidenced allegation into the evidence chain for the court case, using the UN top cover as credibility, effectively. And we're seeing that play out on social media in real time. The obvious anti-Israel activists claiming that the UN has now declared XYZ, when of course no such thing has taken place. So we have to, I think, situate this in a much wider context, where at the prima facie level, we can just dismiss it out of hand because it's clearly nonsense. But you have to understand that this is part of a very, very sinister and malign plot to try and stack the ICJ against Israel in the genocide case, because they can't win on the actual facts.
Well, talking about being stacked against Israel, we've got the Iran agreement that's been signed, and the conversations are now moving towards the post-war situation in Lebanon and in Gaza. Is Israel being left out of those conversations?
There's always going to be diplomatic back channels that we'll never see, and we can only speculate as to what they might be saying in communiques between Jerusalem and Washington right now. The Iranians are playing a very clever game, unfortunately. They have identified, and I think correctly, Lebanon as the wedge by which they can drive a division between Jerusalem and Washington. They are linking Lebanon to the Strait of Hormuz. So they're saying, okay, we're going to cease fire. Then they will get Hezbollah to open fire on the IDF in Lebanon. The IDF will respond. And then Iran can say, right, the ceasefire is not being adhered to. So they're using it as a lever, a diplomatic lever more than anything else. The enemies that Israel are fighting are very clever, and they really know how to manipulate. Chess was codified in Iran for a good reason all those centuries ago. You know, these are not stupid people. And yes, they have a bizarre, horrible ideology that drives everything they're doing, but that doesn't mean they're not incredibly rational, and they're outthinking Trump at every stage at the moment.
Israel and the Trump administration are diverging on multiple issues, on Iran, on Lebanon, on Gaza, on Turkey and Erdogan. Is Israel going to have to accelerate plans to become more independent of the United States and more responsible for its own security?
I think that's a given. And look, Trump throwing Israel under a bus was the single most predictable thing that has ever happened, because that's what Trump does with everyone. You know, this guy's, you know, he talks about the art of the deal. He is transactional. And when a better deal comes along, he will ditch his previous deal and move on. He did it with Ukraine. He did it with Afghanistan back in his first term. He's done it in Gaza to an extent as well. And the fact that this happened with Iran is no surprise, certainly to me whatsoever. Bibi, of course, this week was talking about strategic independence for Israel. And I've been saying that even before Trump came into power, because look, think back all the way to January 2024, when Israel was looking at moving into the Rafah stage of the Gaza operation. That was put on hold because the Biden White House insisted that it be. That was a four-month delay that gave Hamas time to lay booby traps in all the houses. It gave them time to inflict casualties on the IDF when they eventually did move into Rafah. And that was entirely because Washington was putting the handbrakes on what the IDF were doing. And so, you know, you cannot rely your state security on another country. And look, Europe's finding this out the hard way too. Let's not forget, you know, the old assumptions of European security have been cast aside by Trump. Europe is now scrabbling to try and reconstitute its defense capabilities that were degraded for so long. And that's the lesson for Israel, is don't get yourself into that position. So the time to act really is now and achieve that strategic independence before it becomes a crisis, because it's not a crisis right now. Israel has the stocks, it has the weapons, it has the planes that it needs. There's no guarantee that it will in future. So the time now is to make the plan.
And so Israel should be looking to make alliances elsewhere around the world?
Ultimately, Israel is unfortunately in a pariah state at the moment. It has very few friends on the world stage, and those friends it does have are also quite transactional, India being a great example, the UAE being another. So I think we have to move into this new world of realpolitik, where you don't have friends, you have fellow travellers for such time as the journey suits both of you. And it's about leveraging those fellow travellers' relationships until they don't work anymore. And I think that's the key lesson going forward, is that it's incredibly difficult in this era of geopolitical competition that's accelerating to have an ally that you can say is your best friend forever. You know, there are no BFFs in international geopolitics right now.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Thanks for watching. And please do subscribe using the link below. Goodbye.